Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On yesterday's show, we heard Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens, who will get a full House floor vote on his single-payer health insurance bill.
You know, as this debate goes further, more and more of my colleagues are coming up to me in the cloakroom or on the floor of Congress and saying, you know, the more we look at this, the more a single-payer makes sense.
Today, we'll get a Republican view from New Jersey as both political parties and all the affected industries take to the airwaves to fight for their interests.
Insurance companies are out there in full force, carpet bombing, shock and awe, against a public option.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on the insurance industry's media blitz as the Democrats try to make them the prime villains right now. With us now is Republican Congressman Scott Garrett from the 5th District of the Garden State, which ranges from the cities of Paramus and Bergenfield to the rolling farmlands of Warren County through the mountains of Sussex and Passaic, as the congressman's website romantically puts it. Congressman Garrett, that's some geographically diverse district you've got there, huh?
That is a beautiful description of it, too, isn't it? Yeah, it's like the rolling waves of grain and that sort of thing. Very American.
So what do you say to Congressman Weiner and Speaker Pelosi about the basic villainy of the private insurance companies?
Well, I would say, first of all, that we in public office should not be all about trying to find villains all the time underneath every rock and say it's all about hate this group or hate that group or hate this person. What it should be all about is, do we have a problem? Yeah. Can we work together to try to find the solution to it? I would hope so. But that begins with just laying aside this pointing fingers all the time.
Here's one more clip of
Sure.
Congressman Weiner on that point, speaking, I guess, to his colleagues like you.
Okay.
My Republican friends pound the rostrum about how outrageous it is to propose the public option, which would compete with private plans because they say they don't want a government takeover of health care. But about 20% of our health care in this country is some form of public, some form of single-payer public plan, Medicare, the Veterans Administration, Department of Defense. And frankly, they do a pretty good job. And they're not perfect, and there are gaps, but their combined overhead is about 3% compared to about a 30% combined overhead and profit-taking by the private insurance companies. Yet my conservative friends don't seem to realize that. That's why I called their bluff last week and actually offered an amendment that would require them to vote up or down whether they liked single-payer health care in the form of Medicare.
Want to react to your liberal Democratic friend?
Yeah, there you go. Well, I would love to have that vote, and I think the American public would have that like to have that vote of whether we have single-payer or not. You know, the we have not really been able to have any much option or opportunity to weigh in, if you will, on many of the debates in Congress over the last 7 months. I say that because, in other words, we would suggest amendments and that sort of thing, and they would basically all be ruled out of order, or the rules were changed that we couldn't do any amendments. So I'm welcome the idea that we can vote up or down on single payer. I'll tell you this much: his constituents may be different from my constituents in their mindset on this. I've just spent, you know, days and weeks, both going back home on weekends, doing telephone town halls, and now going to various fairs in my district. Hardly anyone comes up to me and says, you know, I want to have a system where the government has more control or the government is a single payer. Everybody else goes quite the opposite direction on this.
Well, he would say, why not look, and I think the clip reflected it, why not look at the insurance we have in America today, compare the various types, and come to the conclusion that the one with the most customer satisfaction and choice of doctors and taking the least cut for itself is actually the government single-payer system of Medicare.
Well, because there's a whole bunch of misconceptions with regard to that statement that people have. One is a couple of them. One is, I can say, as far as the satisfaction with, all you have to do is talk to people who work in my office who deal with the constant phone calls of seniors calling up and saying, I have this problem with Medicare, I have that problem with Medicare.
Worse than private insurance companies, do you think, in terms of customer satisfaction?
Well, I would don't get as many calls from seniors with regard to the private sector. Now, you could obviously push back and say, well, that's because you're a federal office and you're not necessarily dealing with that. But we do get these calls with regard to Medicare. So to say that everyone's happy, no. Secondly, there is that myth also with regard to the 3%. I've looked into it, and part of the reason for that is because Medicare is really, when they come up with those numbers, they're just looking at the numbers of Medicare being a government agency that simply cuts checks, and how much does it cost to, you know, write the check and send it out to the doctor. And they're comparing an apples and orange situation. They're the apples. The oranges would be the private sector. The private sector, when they count what their administrative costs are, goes a lot further than that. I was just touring a facility someplace in New Jersey where they have programs where people can call in, that there's nurses on hand that can discuss issues with you, your health care and that sort of thing. There will be people to go over your drugs that you're getting, how well it's jiving with other drugs that you're getting. So the private sector administrative costs are obviously going to be higher because they're providing different, I'll say, more services than you're getting from the bureaucrat or the administrator down in Washington.
But they're also trying to take a cut for themselves. In fact, a lot of what we hear from Democrats right now would be to say that the insurance company's model is to take as much money from you as they can in premiums and give you as few benefits as they possibly can in payouts for your health.
Yeah, well, I'll make this comment too, because your opening little intro was talking. Oh, I know what it was. It was when Speaker Pelosi was making her attack against the insurance industry and saying that they're doing all this big push and what have you. As I sat here listening to her little speech that you just played, I can't think of hardly any insurance companies that have come into my office over the last several months and lobbied me on this issue, to be honest with you. They have not.
They've got you, right? I mean, you're in the camp that they would support, so I would imagine that they would put their lobbying efforts elsewhere. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. That's the way it work at all. I mean, whether I support them 100%, 90%, 80%, or 20%, they don't know exactly where I stand on particular aspects of this. And the way any industry works is they will always go in and sit down and push and see where you are. But I have not. There's not been this huge push. Now there may be, now that the Democrats and Speaker Pelosi specifically is trying to say, let's vilify the insurance companies and make them the bad guys in all this, because their other initiatives of trying to sell health care and single payer haven't worked, so now we got to find another, you know, a scapegoat. Before it was, now that I think about it, first it was the drug companies. They were all the evil, bad people, if you listen to them last year. Well, now they have come on board and said that they're going to kick some money back into the plan, so they're not the problem. Then the hospitals were all being vilified by the Democrats and saying they're evil, they're high administrator costs, yada, yada, yada. Now, then they came on board and said that, no, they'll adopt it. So now the administration doesn't vilify them. So the next group to vilify is the last one that is out there that hasn't come on board and said that they'll kick something into and be at the table.
So the insurance companies are benign?
No one, benign in the sense that are they attacking or coming in lobbying? Yeah, no, they're not. They're benign. Benign in the sense they're part of the equation? No. Everyone, hospitals, doctors, drug companies, insurance companies are all aspects to this huge, large issue, and all need to, those issues all need to be addressed. Quite honestly, yes, absolutely.
Congressman Scott Garrett, Republican from New Jersey, my guest on WNYC, with the cities of Paramus and Bergenfield, two parts of Warren County, Sussex County, Passaic, all in his district. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for some New Jersey health care calls for New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett. New Jersey callers for this segment, 212-433-WNYC, if you want to talk health care with Congressman Garrett. And let's talk to Yen in Plainfield. You're on WNYC. Hello, Yen.
Hello. My name is Ian.
I'm sorry.
I-A-N.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I love your show. I watch it all the time. I listen to it all the time. I have a quick question for the Congressman.
Sure.
Congressman, my 23-month-old son had an X-ray done, and it cost $14,000. That's what we were billed. We got a letter from our insurance company basically saying, we think this is unreasonable.
Okay.
we'd like to pay them $5,000. So if you get a letter from the hospital, don't pay it.
Okay.
Can you justify that? I think that we should at least try a public option with this kind of ridiculous charging going on.
Congressman Garrett, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you and I are on the exact same page. If you're saying that $14,000 for one X-ray, are you saying that's outrageous?
Yes.
Okay.
It was two X-rays,
a front and
a lateral.
I would agree with you, but, you know, then you have to say, why is it that you in the private sector line getting, it would probably have been even higher had you gone in there and told the hospital, I have no insurance, but I can afford it. They probably said, hey, it's $20,000. Why does that happen? Here's why it happens. When that hospital puts in that X-ray, and if you were a senior citizen or you are under some other program like Medicaid or Medicaid, the amount of money that Medicare would pay the hospital would be a fraction of that. So the hospital is not being paid the full amount that it would cost them to do it. So what do? The hospital does cost shifting, and they shift a lot of their expenses from the Medicare Medicaid line over to the private pay. That means that the guy who has no insurance gets stuck with a huge bill. The guy like you that has private pay insurance gets stuck with an outrageous bill, and it's all because of the public option or the public plan that's out there, Medicare Medicaid. I was with a radiologist the other day.
Wait, you're saying that private health insurance, the fee for these procedures that Ian is calling about on his baby are because of Medicare?
Yeah. In other words, the hospital is a business, okay? They have to meet their bottom line. They're only being paid so much for the whole collection of services that they provide there. So much of those services for Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare and Medicaid pays ridiculously low. I was with a radiologist, and they were telling me that when they get paid like 14 or 18, I forget the number now, for one of their doctors to look at to do the X-ray and to look at it.
But
I said, that doesn't pay for it. Where do you get the rest of the money from?
Isn't that exactly the argument that the pro-Medicare, pro-government payer proponents are making, saying, look, Medicare actually does a better job than the private sector at holding down costs?
Yeah, oh, sure. But then what happens is that hospital or that physician, if they can't, and they can't, most can't live on the amount of money that Medicare and Medicaid makes, they have two options. Option one is to do what they did to this gentleman. We're going to make everybody else pay more. Option two is to do what a lot of doctors who have been in the business and are getting out of the business say, I can't make any money on this. I'm not going to shift anymore. I'm going to get out of the business. So if all the doctors get paid at the Medicare and Medicaid rate and they can't shift it anymore, they will do what they did in Massachusetts when Massachusetts implemented this policy. They will either leave the profession or flee someplace else.
But if it's not if it's a national plan,
then they will leave the profession.
You think doctors will just leave the – will then have a national doctor shortage?
We will have a doctor shortage. We already have a doctor shortage in certain lines of certain practices. Why? Because the cost of doing business, and it is a business, is so high for insurance.
Because of the malpractice,
malpractice in
some regions in particular. But the caller asked for at least a public option to compete with the private insurance, especially since Democrats think it could hold costs down more effectively. But, of course,
It'll exacerbate the problem. It will, to the private plan that he has, it will just make more cost shifting. And eventually, I don't know whether – is the caller there still? I don't know whether the caller gets his insurance through his employer. The employer will eventually say, look, I can't afford this. Employee, sir, go into the public option, and we won't offer the private option anymore. And that is now becoming more and more clear as you've seen these little snippets of Barney Franks and President Obama in previous clips saying that this is really just a step towards just one single payer option.
But here again is Congressman Wiener explaining how he thinks the public option was weakened in his Energy and Commerce Committee and the bill that came out last Friday night in a way that it won't threaten the existence of private insurance.
Okay.
it's flawed in a fundamental way, and that is that the way it was written, and it's far, far better than the status quo, than the status quo, is there's a public plan that's supposed to compete with the private insurance companies. The way it would do that is their rates would be linked to Medicare rates. Here we go again. And by having a lower rate, it would force insurance companies to come down in order to compete for customers. What the compromise that was struck is that the rates would not be linked to Medicare anymore. They would be allowed to float as high as the average in the area. And what the fear is if you let the public plan kind of float and not be tethered to anything, there's nothing pulling down the rates, or at least not as much as possible.
So these are the compromises that the Democrats say they're making to get folks like you, you know, Northeast Republicans, if no one else, on board for this plan. Why not?
So the compromise, if I understood that correctly, then, is to say that they're not going to be tied initially to Medicare, Medicaid rates, that they can go up higher. But there is, which then I've yet to see how then that saves, if the idea between the public plan is that it saves money somehow or other and does it more cheaper than the private plan, then that doesn't jive anymore. So it's going to be paid at the same rates. You're just going to have somebody else doing it. So where's the benefit there, except that you still have a public plan that's being, you know, run by the government as opposed to run by private sector? The other problem with that, of course, is that's how the plan comes out initially. The language in the bill, at least in some of the bills, we haven't seen the final versions of these things yet, is that there would be a I can't think of the full term of it, but I'll use the word czar, a committee, an appointed person who would be able to basically set these rates for the public plan. And if that plan is not adequately funded, and of course Medicare and Medicaid are not adequately funded, that floating figure that he says out there would have to come down to Medicare and Medicaid rates, and you get into the same problem that the earlier caller talked about, cost shifting.
Ernie in Wyckoff, you're on with your congressman, Scott Garrett. Hello.
Hello, Congressman. How you doing?
I'm doing
Ernie
good.
From Wyckoff. You're my congressman.
And from one Ernie to another Ernie. I'm Ernie as well.
Oh, real. Very good. Listen, my son's a doctor.
Okay. What type of doctor is he?
He's a primary care physician. He's an internist, and he's a primary care physician, and he says he's at the low end of the scale and as opposed to raising it. The problem, as I see it, is my wife has insurance through her job, and that's what I have. Without anything said by her, her employer changed insurance companies. And now we can't get coverage for certain treatments. We can't get coverage for certain medications. And my doctor, my rheumatologist, says, you can't use this plan anymore in my office because they jerk me around. I spend all the time on the phone, and this is what my son says.
So, Ernie, do you think a public option?
Bureaucrats in the government. How about the bureaucrats in the insurance company? We spend 45 minutes at a time getting bounced from one place to another.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there, Ernie, because our time is short. But Congressman Garrett, he's raised something that a lot of folks would raise. They run into bureaucracy in their private insurance companies, and it's at least as bad.
Yep. First of all, I commend his son for being a primary care physician. They are at the very end of the spectrum as far as compensation, but God bless them because we need more primary care physicians. As to that point, absolutely. And that's, you know, no one out there says this current system is perfect and does not need to be changed. I've been saying that for a long time. It needs to be fixed. And that's one of the real rubs on it is that so many people get their insurance due to government laws passed during the World War II, as far as incentivizing that, through their employer. And that's the problem. So what do you need to do about that? What the real solution to that is to give the consumer, the patient, this caller, more control over his private pay insurance so there's no so that it's not always the employer that's making these decisions, that he could have his own insurance. And also, one last little caveat to that, or addition to that, is that it should be portable. So in other words, if he's with XYZ employer today, and he's with ABC insurance company, and he leaves this job today for whatever reason, goes to another job tomorrow, that health insurance should be portable enough that he can carry it over to the other place and that he's in charge of it. And that's what I've been advocating, and a lot of other smarter people on this than I.
And everybody agrees on that, the portability of private insurance.
Yeah.
So is it possible that some limited bill will come out of Congress based on these points of common ground?
I would hope so. I mean, I think that's the neat aspect of this. If you just took out some little tiny, not tiny, but important tiny ports of this and allow to address that first, I think you'd go a long way to address this caller problem. And a lot of other ones that we do get complaints about. We do have to go back to, as you know, the problems with the people who are on Medicare and Medicaid that are, you know, all the headaches that they have with it too, but we can address that as well. But yet there are points of commonality here as this caller raises.
All right. Republican Congressman Scott Garrett of the 5th District of New Jersey, all those places, Sussex and Passaic and Bergen County, and what am I leaving out?
Warren County.
Warren County, the very American rolling farmlands.
That's
and
right.
The beautiful mountains, the very American shopping mall at Paramus.
The
very beautiful American immigrant district in Bergen Field.
That's
and
right.
Congressman Garrett, thank you very, very much.
You know the district well. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer at WNYC. And we'll keep going Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, probably all month. We had Wiener yesterday. We have got Garrett right there. We'll have Democrat from New Jersey, Bill Pascrell, tomorrow, and we'll keep having interest groups on, people from the different industries, patients' organizations, all kinds of things. We're going to have this healthcare debate on this show all summer. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Mayor Bloomberg's new proposal to make the crosstown buses free.